Well, the world's going to pot. Literally, right? It kind of is. Marijuana has a lower potential for abuse than other drugs that are subjected to the same restrictions, with scientific support for its use as a medical treatment. Researchers from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration say in documents supporting its reclassification as a Schedule 3 substance. Now, I don't know what in the hell that means, but J-Man would. Jerry Joyner is the J-Man. He's on the line right now. J-Man, good morning.
Good morning.
Of course, Jerry is a leading industry expert when it comes to marijuana and host of a TV show and podcast called Weed and Whiskey. What's your favorite whiskey?
I like PX.
PX.
Never heard of it.
What is that?
Well, PX is a it's a blended whiskey that's made down here in Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay.
Recently got acquired by one of the big French distributor. Got a beautiful distillery over in Fort Worth that overlooks the city. And it's a real smooth, nice whiskey.
P as in Paul, X as in Xavier.
Oh, no. T as in Texas. T-X.
T-X. That makes all the sense. Yeah, T-X. Wild. And it's now been picked up by a French company?
Yeah, they got out I guess 2 years ago.
Okay.
Penrod bought them out.
Got it. All right.
Real nice success story.
Hey, what do you think about the declassification as a lower risk drug, marijuana? What do you think?
Well, I think rescheduling marijuana from 1 to 3 certainly helps the industry, but that doesn't help the big underlying problem. The illicit market, the black market of marijuana products is 3 times the size of the legal business, and it's a big problem, and it's getting bigger every day.
How many states is it illegal? Not legal, but how many states is marijuana illegal recreational?
From a recreational or adult use standpoint, so we take 50 states, less the 24 that are, what does that give us, 26?
Yeah.
You guys up in New York, 2016, I think, is when you enacted the medical marijuana, and then 2021, y'all went adult use. So.
Yeah, but the dispensaries are still not open as far as state
slow
run.
Slow moving.
One thing that's interesting up here, J-Man, is that the Oneida Indian Nation, on their land, right across from the casino, has just opened a dispensary. And when they do things, they always do things big.
Yeah, it's quite big. And they're all different strains and flavors. And I don't know. I'm confused by it all. But the smells
it's
are
like
different.
It's like a Willie Nelson song. It's all gone to pot,
it's
whether we like it or not.
You're right. That's very right. And speaking of Willie Nelson, you know, I wonder, is it better to... So... We spent decades telling people not to smoke. Do not smoke because it causes lung cancer. And now, all of a sudden, we've made smoking marijuana legal. What is different between cigarettes and marijuana and lung cancer? And is it safer then to do the edibles as opposed to smoking and bringing that into your lungs?
Well, you asked me a two-part question there, so I'll answer the one about the lung parts with a Willie story.
Yeah.
Willie's lung collapsed over in Maui in the, I believe it was 83, 84, somewhere around that. He was smoking 3 or 4 packs of Chesterfields a day.
Oh, my
God. yeah, and so they got him well and fixed, and he took that pack of Chesterfields, rolled up 20 joints, threw the cigarettes out, put the joints in there. But at 90 years old, he'll be 91 this
April.
That's
unbelievable.
He doesn't really smoke or vape anymore, but he certainly does a lot of edibles.
Okay.
So there was a, you know,
So to clarify, you feel edibles are safer than smoking?
I certainly believe that edibles are safer than smoking. There's differences because the edibles, it takes longer for a person to get the effect from the psychotropic effect, whereas the smoking is the fastest way to ingest that THC and feel the effects of it. You know, what's coming on strong, guys, is drinking weed.
I saw that. Yeah. They're
I couldn't keep that can lit, man. I kept lighting it up, and I couldn't get the can to stay lit. But I've been using cannabis for 50 years. On 420, which is my birthday, I will be 64 years old and have been pretty much a daily user of cannabis for a half a century. Myself, I'm doing a lot more gummies and now that these beverages are available than smoking just because I'm older and in my lungs. I still enjoy it, but I don't do it nearly as much.
So there's
by the way, how quickly does the drinking come into? Is the drinking faster? Probably not any faster than than eating a piece of cookie or something.
Well, this is, it's all that scientific stuff kind of over old J-Man's head, but the nano-emulsion in the methodology of the way they infuse the THC into the seltzer or tonic or drink has about a 10-minute onset, where a gummy could take 30 minutes, even an hour, before it really kicks in. So it'd be kind of like drinking a beer, guys, and most of these manufacturers, there's one coming out, Buzz Me Up, the guy that was the Wingsop founder, Antonio Swad. He's gotten in the legal weed business. He got a drink called Buzz Me Up. It's got THC and caffeine in it.
Wow.
And and in 10 minutes, you get to feel the effects of those. And it's low dose, so it's like drinking beer.
Drink
a couple of those, and you're still functioning.
Yeah, okay.
Andrew. I believe that there's an apple orchard, that does a lot of products. They're responsible for 1911 Hard Cider. And some of their
lines coming out.
They have it already. You go to a concert, and there's.
I think the FX Matt Brewery is doing one. Fred Matt's
been talking
about.
There's over 400 brands, guys. I've got a little TV network, so it's fortunate for me that a lot of them send them to me. Say, hey, would you put this on your show? 400 different brands.
Wow.
And these brands have multiple varietals. In flavors, both in sizes. So when we talk about cannabis, marijuana, weed, whatever you want to call it, it's really changed. It's not nearly as much people smoking as there are using these new methods of ingestion, especially with people that maybe did this 20 or 30 years ago, and I don't want to smoke now, but I sure want to eat one of these gummies.
I have a couple. Are you okay on time?
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. I got one at 7:10. So
okay.
Keep me as long as you want.
All right. I just need a couple more minutes. Mike says, if marijuana becomes legal across the country, will the illicit facilities go away, similar to what happened when Prohibition stopped? I really don't hear much about people buying moonshine today, although they do have moonshine in the liquor stores.
They do.
And they got a TV show about moonshine. But certainly, Mike, I think that the 70% of the weed business that's still illegal, and we're talking billions of dollars, okay, $23 billion to $30 billion is what they're saying the legal market is, and about 70 or 80 is the illicit market. And one of the reasons is why. I can buy an ounce of illicit marijuana for half the cost of what I go legally buy it for because of the taxes and the markup that those people need to make. And so it's both a problem for the what they call the legacy people, the people that have been in the marijuana business for decades trying to get in the legal business.
Yep.
If you go in the legal business, you have to make a huge investment and make half the profit. Not much motivation for that.
Yeah, and that's the problem we're seeing in New York. New York is having a major problem with that.
And I think the other thing that it does, if they made it legal, besides reducing or eliminating that illegal market, those products oftentimes are facsimiles of the good products. They've got Dorito infused with THC and Cheetos that are illegal packaging. It comes in through that market. It gets into some of the mainstream corner stores often. And those things aren't tested. They could have hard metals and things. So I think people have to be cautious with the flood of things that are becoming available. Yeah. Make sure it's got a certificate of authenticity on the back and that QR code. And again, the thing with the so many people trying to get in the business up there in New York has created a huge problem for y'all.
It has, because you don't know. You need, if you're going to be buying it, you better be buying it from somebody you know. Versus some of these pop-up places where, especially with the problem with fentanyl right now. This guy, some guy in the 540, he's in Virginia, I think. A pot brownie at our dispensary is $20. A brownie for $20.
Wow.
Well,
you got to break that brownie up.
How many servings could that brownie do for people? My wife ate an infused cinnamon roll, and she lost 2 days of productivity. She was unaware. She was hungry, okay? And she goes, oh, that cinnamon roll looks great. And they're like, I think that's infused. It was enough for 8 people. So, again, you have to be really cautious with people making products. I did some talks about with the Super Bowl, these infused buffalo wings. Well, if you get too much sauce on, somebody's got a buffalo wing sauce that's infused with THC. You coat your wings with that, and
that's unbelievable.
Only eat one if you're going to try them. Don't eat a handful. You know, a couple hours later, you can't drive.
God forbid. They start doing THC potato chips, we're in big trouble because you can't eat just one.
They have 10 THC chicken wings. Is that Joe Montana playing in the Super Bowl?
Do you remember that? Do you remember that cop that that called into 911 and he reported that he was dead? Him and his wife were both dead.
Oh, because they had the edible,
Because they ate brownies. Some point during the conversation, he did admit to the 911 person that he'd consumed a pot brownie.
Oh, my God.
And he was, would you say, at that point, tripping, right? Badly, you know, badly, he thought he was dead. Yeah. What are you going to do? Here's a question for you. Another one. I got a lot of people asking you questions right now. Is the classification going to be the same category as drugs like Valium, Xanax, Tylenol, and codeine? Tylenol with codeine.
If it went from one, which is where it's at now, which is the same as cocaine and heroin, to three, one of the things that this does is it helps the legitimate operators with something called the 280E provision in the IRS tax code. People in the legal cannabis business can't write off their ordinary business expenses like advertising, there's a huge difference between a business that can write off their normal operating expenses, makes them even less profitable. So that's something that would really be a big step. But to me, it doesn't do anything to eliminate, which it's the DEA and the other law enforcement agencies are saying how big the illicit market still is.
Yeah.
And I think that would be the key. And I think we'll see more about this coming up as the election is coming up in November. With 70% of Americans, according to a Gallup and a Pew recent survey, thinks that adult use cannabis should be legal. And so that's weed's bringing America back together, guys.
Could you imagine,
do up in Capitol Hill is get them all in a room, get them some of those edibles or those drinks, and they'll just get along just fine.
Get him on Willie's bus.
Get him on. I'm thinking about Willie Nelson is going to be nine, and he's still performing.
Well, how about this? So, in a very recent and relevant story, I remember at Toby Keith's concert, rest in peace, Toby. He had a song called "Weed with Willie," and it's basically I'll never smoke weed with Willie again. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can't keep up. They're not able to keep up. And then one final one. I cannot believe the amount of pot smell when I'm outside with cars driving by.
Yeah.
I've got to believe there's a ton of pot-impaired drivers out there. How do you feel about marijuana and driving?
Well, you know, I'm a plain talker and a straight shooter, and I've done that often in my life. Now, I never really drink and drive, but I think that everyone needs to make sure that what they're doing they're being safe with what they do. Some instances, I think that's wrong, that people should be out riding around. And like I said, I've done it before.
Yep.
I do it now, but I don't drive. I let somebody else drive and keep them in a different section of the car.
Yeah.
The windows rolled down. No different than people consuming alcohol.
Okay.
We know that millions of Americans drink while they drive, and millions of Americans are going to be consuming cannabis. Let's just make sure if you're doing that, you're not impaired too much if you're doing it. But there's a problem with, you know, many law enforcement agencies are now removing the smell or odor of marijuana as a reason for the probable search cause, which has always been, the police will say, I smell pot.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I'm doing this. Yeah. But that brings up the same question. I could use cannabis today, and tomorrow I could use none, get pulled over, and if I had to do a urine test or a blood test, it's going to show THC in my system. But I'm not impaired from it anymore.
Yep.
So there are some companies that are making a breathalyzer-type device, just like they use for alcohol, for cannabis, where they can see what is that level, how recently it had been used
in your system. Okay.
We don't want to penalize somebody for using something that's legal that they're not under the influence of, but we also want to keep the bad actors off the street.
Search for his TV show and podcast called Weed and Whiskey. Jerry J. Mann Joyner. If you want to try a new whiskey that you haven't tried before, TX, as in Texas, is a smooth whiskey, says the J. Mann, and we appreciate your time. We will do it again. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Have a great day. Pretty good. Interesting stuff. It's all very
always
it's a
enjoy
whole
the
stinking new world. A whole new world.